This is an important Sunday on the church calendar, if you weren't aware of it. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Palm Sunday. And then 1 week ago, we celebrated Easter. And then from a pastoral perspective, this is the Sunday after Easter, which we always call Low Sunday. And the reason why it's called Low Sunday is because everybody who said we went to church on Easter, they don't come back the next week. And so even here in our own body, you have a representative body this morning of people who are committed to Green Spring Brethren in Christ Church. And not to be of any offense to those that are not here this morning, people can't come to church for multiple reasons, sickness, family engagements that have to take a priority, all kinds of reasons. You will find, if you look at any church's attendance, and you go and look at it week by week by week, you will see that the Sunday after Easter, there is a large dip in attendance. Scrappy church means we change that. And when I was thinking about the Sunday that I was going to be sharing this information, I thought it really appropriate that, yes, why not share it the Sunday after Easter? Because I know that you are here, and because you are here, you are committed to Green Spring Brethren in Christ Church, the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever you may be listening, whatever church you attend, you are committed to that church, and we all need to understand what it means to be a scrappy church. So I want us to be able to focus this morning. I'm going to go through outward deluge, welcome readiness, being a welcoming church, and backdoor closure, and go through those three areas and for us to understand. I'm going to blaze through these. I preached these a year ago, over a year ago, in three separate sermons. I'm going to cover them this morning in one sermon and go really, really quick through these three areas. And cover them. We're going to do a scratch and sniff. Have you ever gone to the auto parts store and they have the little cans and it says strawberry scent and you can scratch the lid and yeah, I don't want strawberry scent in my car. And then you can go to the other one, almond. Oh, let me scratch. That's what we're doing this morning. We're going to do scratch and sniff. We're not going to go deep, but to understand that God wants us as a church. He wants every church to be a scrappy church, to be purposeful. We're not here on accident. We are to be purposeful. And so as a part of a scrappy church, we're called to change our attitude. You can see those things that are there, from excuses to ownership, obstacles to allies, limitations to abundance, despair to joy, fear to courage, impossible to possible. They're just basics as a scrappy church. We don't have excuses. You know, if we only had, no, we don't have excuses. We have ownership. This is our church. God has given us a beautiful building. Let's use it for the glory of God and be a scrappy church. So we're going to jump right in. Outward deluge. The first one, outward deluge. As we go in, you're going to see three things that show up on the screen as we go to each one of those. The three basic points for us to understand. But Hebrews chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you were yourselves, as if you yourselves were suffering. And I want to jump down to verse 16 as well. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Outward deluge is a sustained outward focus of the church. It's when we are looking outside the four walls of our church and realizing there are lost people that are in our community. Can you stand with me? Just, you know, not really stand, but stand with me in the statement that we have lost people in our community. We have lost neighbors. We have lost friends. We have lost family. Outward deluge is where we as a church take ourselves and say, what can we be to our community so that way they can hear the gospel message? The reality is that we have gone way past an age where it was important for everyone in a community to belong to a church. There was a day in our country, there was a day in the world where if you didn't go to church on Sunday, you were in trouble with the boss on Monday. You could go to work on a Monday and the boss said, why weren't you in church yesterday? Those days have long sailed. So people who are unsaved are not banging down the doors of our church to come in and hear the gospel message. So it becomes extremely important for Outward Dailies for us to go out and share the gospel message to others and to love on others. Those three little points that I had there, reception of others, because Outward Dailies is not about us. It is about others. And it becomes with the reception of others to understand there are other people out there that are different than us. And as Hebrews says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers. See, it's good that we entertain each other. It's wonderful that we equip each other, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But it's important, extremely important, to take the gospel message out and to receive other people into our lives, to get other people in our lives. It's the hospitality to strangers. We also remember others. Our lives are about remembering where other people were at. I go to the grocery store, I buy my groceries, I come home. I don't think about, you know, if the check is going to bounce or not. Oh, I do roll my eyes, and my wife will attest to it, when I see the bill at the grocery store. But that's my situation. But I know there's other people who go to the grocery store, and as they walk through the grocery store, they have to put food back. And then they struggle through the week. And I have to think, where is my responsibility as a church, as a person, as a follower of God, to remember the situation of others as they struggle through their life? And what can I do, and what can we do as a church then to intervene into their life and to help lift them out of that situation and to be a blessing into their life and in turn share the gospel message with their life? And I believe that God calls us to remember others. Matthew 25, verses 34 through 36, familiar passage in Scripture. Then the king will say, God, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Remembering others in the situation that they are in and being a blessing into their lives to take the gospel into all the world so they can hear it. And certainly the last point, I got to stop hitting my microphone. The last point there was a reward for others. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. I get all kinds of questions all the time. Here's an easy one for you. What can I do to please God? Well, what does Hebrews say? In Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Hey, think about that one and chew on that one for a while. Do you mean that I can do something in my life that God will look upon me and look upon the world and say, wow, that pleases me? Yep, you can. Yep, I can. Yes, we can as a church. And that is to make sure that we're doing good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. It's interesting that that passage, that little verse says sacrifice. Sometimes doing good to someone else is a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to put our own ego aside. Sometimes we have to put our own preferences aside. And sometimes we even have to set aside our whole personality and say, how can I humble myself to do good for somebody else? And that's bringing reward into somebody else's life. And it's Outward Dailies, where we are going out, where we have the privilege of taking the gospel message to others and doing good for them. I'm going to move, and I said I would move quick, scratch and sniff this morning, Outward Dailies to welcome readiness, being a welcoming church. I want to tell you up front, if we're not a welcoming church, then I don't care about Outward Dailies. I don't care at all. Think of it this way. You can go out and buy 100 sheep, but if you don't have a barn or a pasture to put them in, what's the point? Because the only place you can go after you bought the 100 sheep is take them to the slaughter. You have no place to take care of them. Welcome readiness, being a welcoming church, is about once we do some outward deluge and we're sharing the gospel message to others, are others welcome then back into our body and feel comfortable sitting in these chairs and want to sit in these chairs? Psalm 122, verse 1. I'm going to stick with this verse here for this welcome readiness. Psalm 122, verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. When we're thinking about being a welcoming church, we need to ask ourselves, am I a welcoming person? Do I have interest in the person who is visiting this church? It's easy enough for us this morning. Do you want to know if you have interest in the people in the church? I'll give you a privilege. Don't look at me. Look over that way. Look over that way. The back. Look in the front. Look all over the room. There's not a lot of us here this morning. Can you name the name of everybody who is in this room this morning? And if you can't, how does that change? So there's the question that we start with of welcome readiness and being a scrappy church is, if I can't name the name of every person who is in the room worshiping with me, then how do I change it? How do I change it? As part of a welcoming church, it's one where we like coming to church so much that we just want to be here over and over and over. Our mission at the church is honoring God by leading others to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our mission, honoring God by leading others to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. If we're not a welcoming church, if we don't have welcome readiness, I can't lead others to Jesus Christ, and I certainly can't take them to being fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So as we think about our own church and we think about the dynamics of our own church and being welcome readiness, there's a certain point that it has expectations that we want to be here. As in that verse in Psalm 122, that I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. There's a certain excitement that says, yes, I want to be in church on Sunday because something is about to happen. I believe that something good is about to happen, and it could be this very day. Because I'm in the house of the Lord, I'm being equipped, I'm being trained in righteousness, I'm rubbing shoulders with people, I'm hearing their testimony, I'm hearing their prayer requests, and I'm growing up in my faith each and every Sunday because I'm in the house of the Lord. And I know that I saw the story, it was rolling around on Facebook this past week, and I won't be able to quote the whole thing, where someone wrote into the newspaper the way this whole story goes, and what's the point of going to church every week? It's just the same thing week after week after week. You know, what's the point? And this kept going back and forth in the newspaper, in the editorial section, people going in their input of good to church, go to church, you don't have to go to church, all this things about why should we go to church. And so finally, one person wrote in an article, and he said something along the lines, I've been married for 40 years. And during those 40 years, every evening, my wife has cooked me dinner. But I can't tell you what the menu was for any of those meals. I can't tell you what we had for every one of those meals for 40 years, 365 days a year. But I do know this. I'm alive because I ate those meals. And if I never ate those meals and my wife never cooked those meals for me, I wouldn't be alive today. And so we can look back over our church history and say, well, what's the point of going to church every Sunday? It really doesn't make that much of a difference. It does make a difference. Because without it, we're starving to death. Without it, we're starving to death. It's in a congregational setting that the Lord pours out His blessing in a special way that I can't get singing to God while I'm driving down the highway to the music that's on the radio. And I know some people don't necessarily agree with it, but there is something different about being in a body of believers, being with other saints gathered together, whether it's a home church with 12 people or it's in a congregation with 5,000. There's something different being in a congregational setting with a group of other believers on a regular basis and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to continue to work in us. And so we have this expectance that we want to be in church and that something good is going to happen. We're there where we have the Holy Spirit gifts. I want to give you that other aspect of expectance. I can't practice the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to me at home. Why? Because if you look at Romans chapter 12, we are the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, we are each given a spiritual gift, and those gifts are to be exercised in the church. And so if God has given you the gift of prophecy, yes, you can run around and use the gift of prophecy however you want, wherever you want, but God has given you the gift of prophecy to use in the body of Christ, in the church, the place where God has ordained it. We prophesy, we serve, we teach, we encourage, we give, we lead, we show mercy, and God's intention are those spiritual gifts to be exercised inside the church. And we come here expecting, I get to use my gift, and I get to receive the gift of others pouring into my life. It's also a place that brings exaltation. It's where in God's house we praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. A welcoming church worships God and sings His praises. It also brings endurance. We need endurance. Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And we talked about Gary and Lily earlier. But if Gary and Lily are moving away and just going and hiding in their house, I would be disappointed. My encouragement to them is to find a church in their new community, to continue to endure, to continue to run the race with perseverance, to not give up on the good work that God is doing in their lives. And being a welcoming church and welcoming readiness is making sure we have the things in the church that will help us to endure and that will encourage us to continue to endure and to push forward to win the prize for what Jesus Christ has called us. We're in this race together to be a welcoming church, and we work side by side, week after week, coming to the house of the Lord. And in doing, we remember that we're here for God and we're here for others. So from outward deluge to being a welcoming church, and it takes us to backdoor closure. Backdoor closure is an interesting subject, and I'm not going to go down the downside. If you want to do that, go back and look at my messages from January of 2020 and find the one on backdoor closure, because I know I got on a soapbox about people who just randomly leave church. Backdoor closure is where we feel that we belong to the church body. I am a part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's two passages in the New Testament that mostly talk about spiritual gifts. They're easy to remember. Here's how you remember. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. So that way, if anybody ever says to you, where are the spiritual gifts found in the body, in the Bible, just one of those tidbits, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. But if you look in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. That's who we are, one body. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. I am part of the church body. I hope every one of us can say that this morning, that I am part of the church body. We all need to be able to say it. Paul was writing to a church that was divided. They were bickering over all kinds of things. And Paul is trying to get them to realize, no, you're part of one church body. When we don't see ourselves as part of the body of Christ, we're apt to not get involved, and we're apt to wander away. When I am a part of the church body, I'm more apt to be involved, and I'm more apt to stay. From being part of the church body, we need to realize that we're needed in the church body. Paul's dealing with a struggle that I believe all of us can, a subject that all of us can struggle with from time to time. I'm not needed. I'm not needed. Now, I don't know where you sit today, but I want to tell you, through the grace of God, you're here at this church, and you are desperately, desperately needed by God. Now, I want to also be fair with that statement. If for some reason God does not want me to be the pastor of this church tomorrow, He can do that. He can do that in a lot of different ways. But there will be another pastor that stands behind this pulpit, because God will raise up somebody else who has bigger shoes than mine. So there's two aspects of that. One is, we are all desperately needed because we all bring a different flavor. I know at home I have a snow cone machine. I brought it in here to the church a couple times. But I have about 12 different flavors now out in the garage. I had to count real quick, 5 grandchildren. I only have 5 grandchildren, but there's adults too. And it's interesting. One person likes birch beer, and the other person, they like lemon lime, right? Lemon lime. Other people like blue raspberry and cherry and strawberry. Some people like it rainbow, all the different colors. Am I getting you hungry for a snow cone? That's the church. You come into this church and you bring a flavor that nobody else in this church has. And backdoor closure means that we all get involved in the ministry of this church. Someone told me this morning that one of our light bulbs is burned out. We didn't turn on that one row of lights because one of those big mercury vapor lights burned out on us. I'm not volunteering to go up on a ladder. You can't get there anyway. Or even go up on a scissor lift and change that big, huge mercury vapor light bulb. But I know that there are some guys, now that I just shared that, that they're already thinking of when we can get another scissor lift in here, because it'll be fun to go up there and mess with that light bulb. And you see the difference of being in the body of Christ. Each and every one of us are needed. Some people are extroverts and get into conversations and talk to people. I'd rather hide in a hole with a book and not talk to anybody, because that's how God made me. And so we all bring a flavor to the church, and we are all needed in the church to bring our gifts and to bring our gifts to the floor for God to use. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. When I read that verse, and if I sit there and say, no, I'm not needed in the body, then I make God out to be a liar. I make God out to be a liar, because He's the one who placed us in the body of Christ to use our gifts for His glory and to close the back door of the church. The last part of that is, others are needed in the church body. Just as dangerous as looking at ourselves and saying, I'm not needed, is to look around at others and say, I can do it better than them, and they're not needed. It's dangerous. But it's sometimes where we live as a church. It's dangerous, but it's where we live at the church. I could drive the bus better than him. And I share that because we don't have a bus. But I could drive the bus better than him. I don't know why they have Sam driving the bus. Sam doesn't drive anymore, so I could pick on him. I don't know why they have Sam driving the bus. Do you realize he's just all over the road? He's just all over the road. He has to use a block just to hit get to the gas pedal. They need to fire Sam as the bus driver, because I should do it. Yet at the same time, you're teaching a Sunday school class, and Sam was the guy that was out there picking up kids for your Sunday school class, so you have kids in your Sunday school class. Now you're out there driving the bus, picking up kids, and there's no one to teach the Sunday school class when you get back, because you weren't preparing for the class, because you're out driving the bus. Do you get how that happens? And so as a church, we need to realize there's ministry opportunities for everyone in a church. Others are needed. So what do we do with all of this? Big question. And I put it out to our church that's here this morning and those that are on Facebook listening and watch later. Here's the big question. I'm either in or I'm out or I really don't care and I'm just along for the ride. I couldn't think of any other possibility there. So I'm either in or I'm out, or I'm just going to go along for the ride. I know that God wants you to be in. I want you to be in. I know the leadership of this church wants you to be in. To be in, to be engaged, and to be part of a scrappy church. I want to go back, way back, to the story of Esther in the Old Testament and close out with this story. Esther, she became queen through a beauty pageant. I'm giving you the real short story of this. She became queen through a beauty pageant. This young girl and her uncle Mordecai, there's no way that they would have ever dreamed that this young Jewish girl would ever become the queen. First of all, she was a slave in that country. She's taken it, you know, she wasn't part of that country. They weren't welcome in that country. Yet she became queen. So Esther, at one point, faced a difficulty because all of the Jewish people were going to be annihilated, killed. They were going to be wiped out. And that meant her. Also meant Uncle Mordecai, who raised her. And she had to make a decision. I'm either in or I'm out. I don't care. Or I'm just going to go along for the ride and see what happens. So she prayed. And she asked others to pray. She had her servants fasting and praying. And through this, came to the realization that she was there, as her uncle Mordecai said, that you were there for such a time as this. And she realized that she was there for such a time as this. And she went to the king, to her husband, and pleaded for the lives of the Jewish people. And through Esther, and through her actions, she and then they were able to save the Jewish people from annihilation. And I share that story because Esther had a decision to make. She was either in and she was going to be part of this and somehow find the destiny that God wanted them to have, or she would be out and say, "Thanks for sharing this all to me, Uncle Mordecai, but I don't care." Or she'd be along for the ride and say, "Well, let me stay close enough because I just want to see what happens." And she decided she was in and saved the Jewish people. We have a decision to make. We are here for such a time as this. I wasn't at the church 20 years ago, even though some of you have been. This church wasn't even here 100 years ago. But it's here today. We're here today. And God has called us to be His scrappy church. And as a church, we go and preach the gospel where God directs us to go, to share the message of Jesus Christ, outward deluge. As a church, we stand in unity, making sure that our church is here for others with welcome readiness. And as a church, we work side by side, getting engaged, getting involved, closing the back door. And this morning I ask, make the decision. I want to be in, or I want to be out, or going along for the ride. Hopefully, prayerfully, we're all in. We're all in. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for this day. I want to thank you for your word, and I want to thank you for the church that you have raised up, your church. And I thank you for the church that worships all over this world on this beautiful Sunday day. So many, Lord, that we're not even aware of, bending their knee to you and declaring that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, you have called us as a church here, Green Spring Brethren in Christ Church, 720 Green Spring Road in the little town of Newville. You have called us to be a scrappy church for you, along with all the other churches that are meeting on this Sunday morning. So Lord, I ask that you help us to make that commitment in our lives, that we want to be all in with the mission that you have called us to share the gospel message, to go and preach the gospel, and do that by loving on others, reaching into their lives, making sure that we're welcoming to anyone who would come in through these doors. And Lord, helping each and every one of us to be engaged, putting our hands to the plow, never looking back, working for you. Lord, I thank you for the calling on each and every one of our lives. I ask that you continue to bless us and keep us. Lord, help us to keep our hands to the plow, to not give up, keep our eyes fixed on you, and together we will labor for you as your servants. What a privilege we have to be servants of Jesus Christ. We trust in you. We ask for your strength. We ask for your guidance. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. May God go with you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed week.